It is 88.5 KCSN, and we're joined today by Carlene Carter. Welcome to
KCSN. Oh, thank you. I'm glad I'm here.
It's great to have you in here. It just feels right, first of all, that you're here for a lot of reasons. We're big fans. B, so much of what our radio station is about honors a lot of the many styles of music, and
yeah.
That there's different genres because there's been many kinds of music that you've pursued yourself personally. But
yeah.
The Carter Girl, your new album, it seems after, well, let's start with a question that I don't even know how you might answer this, but is it too highfalutin a term to say that the Carter family is country royalty?
Well, I think that people just did that because they were the first people to kind of started country music in the sense of that they, you know, were recorded for the Victrolas, and they'd never even owned one. And the first time they ever heard music through a Victrola was themselves singing back in 1927. So I think they got dubbed with that because of the longevity and the complete and the amount of songs that were credited to them, and yeah, so they were up there as far. But I don't know, royalty. That's people find hashtag things.
Right.
And it's like I've made so many records where they said the Carlene Carter comes full circle, and it's like, yeah, here I'm full circle again. I'm just obviously going in circles all the time. But with this record, it really does come back to that, you know, so much.
You for a while when you first started, you kind of eschewed, you know, you didn't want to jump into country music. Was that just was it A, out of respect? Was it B, somewhat intimidation? What were your reasons?
Well, I didn't really fit at the time. In the late 70s, I could have possibly fit in, but I was just a little bit too rocking for country,
mm-hmm.
and obviously a little bit too country for rock. So for the longest time, there was no place for me. And that's one thing, you know, about radio that I love, radio that embraces all kinds of music and not just one particular thing. And, you know, I try not to, I've tried not to go with that, you know, like, but it's funny, as I can tell you this pretty much in a quick answer in regards to labeling.
Right.
I went to England because it wasn't that I didn't want to do Carter Family songs, it's just that I wanted to be a songwriter and I wanted to do my thing. And I just ended up by happenstance with The Rumor doing my first album.
Right.
I'd never played with a rock band before, and the idea was to do a rocking country record. It didn't turn out completely like that, and I think eventually when I did my third album, when I recorded with Rockpile, and
right.
we did Musical Shapes, I think that was the record that I probably should have done in the beginning. But
if
great intentions, you know, we all have great intentions.
Right.
But, you know, this record that I'm now that's out, Carter Girl, is me truly embracing the heritage that I've been, the legacy of the Carter family that I can proudly claim as my my mantle. And that is my category of music. And it's like that people are saying, what have you been listening to? It's like, I've been listening to nothing but Carter family music for the last 3 or 4 years, getting ready for this record. And you know, researching it. And I knew a lot of stuff, and I had gotten most of my information from my grandmother and from my mother, June, and my aunts, Helen and Anita, and they all had their own versions of the truth, you know? And my mother being such a, having such an imagination too, all of her stories as years go on would get more and more embellished. If she got a reaction out of something, she'd embellish it even more, and it would get funnier and funnier to where I'm not even really sure what the God's honest truth is sometimes. But yeah, so being able to do this music now and claim it and be able to pass it on to other people, I'm a vehicle of, I'm a vessel of transfer to other people.
There's a little black train a-comin'. got your business right. There's a little black train coming, ain't it maybe here tonight? Go tell that ballroom lady, all dressed in the worldly pride, the Death Star train is coming, better take a ride. God sent Hezekiah message from on high, better set your house in order, you must surely die. Oh, I turn to the wall and weeping, see him here in tears. Got his business fixed all right, God's been 15 years. There's a little black train coming, set your business right. There's a little black train coming, and it may be here tonight. Oh, yeah. See that train with engine, one small baggage car, your idle thoughts and wicked deeds. Stop at the judgment bar. Oh, your man in darkness cares enough for the gospel light, till he suddenly heard the whistle blow with that little black train inside. There's a little black train coming, set your business right. There's a little black train coming, and it may be here tonight. Lord, please come and set me right. Before he got his business fixed, the train rolled in that night. I said, a little black train's a-coming, set your business right. There's a little black train a-coming, and it may be here tonight.
When you come into doing a record like this, and it is, it's been your life in one sense. You literally grew up in a world, both a world of country music, and even more specifically, a home.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you take that step back? Because you've been so much part of it. It would appear to me that there's been some artists I've spoken to that come from families and have lineage. Harper Simon's a great example. Harper said, well, you know, it's not like when I got up in the morning there was music being played in the house all the time.
No.
But in your case, music was pretty much around a lot, was it not?
Well, something, either music or something to do with music. Or... you know, but we had as normal a childhood as possible. I used to, like, you know, look at other people's families, go to visit my girlfriends and stuff, and think how odd it was that there wasn't music playing on the record player, or that their parents came home at 5 o'clock and had dinner together. And it was the way that I grew up, was normal to me. So, and I think most other people that grew up in a household of performers, that we have had the same experience. So we relate on a different level. I know Lori Morgan, George Morgan's daughter, and Pam Tillis and I, we toured together, and we were brought up very similarly, you know, like kids of the Opry, and you know, grew up backstage, and it was just like the normal thing. I think it's why I'm kind of fearless on stage and fearless talking to you or something, other than the fact that you're about 10 feet tall.
But we're seated now.
And very handsome, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, so...
Keep talking.
Yeah, baby. What's that old song? They may be lies, but baby, keep talking.
Exactly. Have at it.
Yeah, no, I'm really embracing this, and I'm wearing... My husband had said something a couple of days ago. He said, you know, just wrap yourself in the love of your family's music, in the sense, because this is what they wanted me to do. What I'm doing right now, that was their greatest ambition. They also wanted me to be my own self and be my own performer and create new Carter Family songs, which is what I tried to do. And I do feel, I do know when I'm channeling a Carter Family-esque song that I'm writing. You know, there's a certain kind of feel that I get to it. But it feels like home to me when I'm singing these songs.
Two lovers stood in the white, white sand. A dark-eyed maiden and her tall lover man. With surprise and pain in her eyes, she clung to the hand of her tall lover man. They're lying to me at the gym, she asked him. That fair-haired girl with those blue, blue eyes is not your wife, is she, Jim? With tears in her eyes and her sad, sad cries, she clung to the hand of her tall lover man. In the darkness he let go of her hand. I'm not to blame, it was a game. Cause that fair-haired woman is my wife, and she will be all of my life. You're lying to me, aren't you, Jim? She asked him. Loving me with sport, then your life shall be short, she said to him, my Jim. And the blade of the maid struck the man, and the blood flowed in the sand from her tall lover man. Two lovers lying in the white, white sand. I'll die with you, my tall lover man. And her blade found its mark in the dark. She clung to the hand of her tall lover man. They're lying to me, aren't they, Jim? She asked him. That fair-haired girl won't be your wife, will she, Jim? And with tears in her eyes and her sad, sad cries, she died in the sand with her tall lover man.
There's a song on the record that really you know it's so touching, and it's Lonesome Valley 2003. You do have a number of guests that perform on the record, Chris Christopherson, Willie Nelson. On this particular track, you went to the voice of angels.
The voice of angels, Vince Gill. He was the man for the job, you know, and he's been like a very good friend to me for a lot of years. And everybody that is on this record, all of the guests that sang on it, Elizabeth Cook, Willie, Chris, Vince, as you're talking, and my husband Joe Breen is on two tracks, and my cousin Lori. So it's very family-oriented. And they all had some sort of connection. And I made a brother in Don. But Vince was the perfect voice for this because nobody can... you know, make me sound better. You know what I mean? He makes me sound better. It's like, whoa, but, you know, if she sings with Vince, she must be good. And I'd always wanted to sing with everybody on this record. I'd always wanted to sing with, so.
Was this the first time you sang with Vince?
Yes. First time that we'd ever sang on a record together. And he was so precious. And he got it. You know, he was at my mother's funeral. He was at my father Carl's funeral. He was at, you know, God, for a while, all we were ever doing was seeing each other at funerals. I said, let's do something fun.
And that, but the song obviously reflects on that,
yeah,
that period where, you know, people sometimes forget. And you talked about how you want the songs to relate to people's own lives, mm-hmm, and to inform their lives and to sometimes be that universal. But yeah, in this particular case, that was a year that we all have.
It was a really rough year.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my little sister too, like 3 weeks after John had passed. And I also lost my partner of 16 years, right, like 2 months before Mama passed. So it was a brutal year. But when I started writing that song, it was more like for myself. It was cathartic in that sense. And I was sitting at the piano, and what came to me, all that could come to me for the chorus, was Lonesome Valley. And that was just like, I always believe that all songs come from God, and that I'm just the vessel of interpretation.
Right.
And that's what happened. And I kept thinking, well, maybe I should try and write a chorus. But then I would say, what else am I going to say? This is the right thing. And so I got to share writing credit with A.P. Carter. And then my friend Al Anderson had come over, and I said, he's the bridge master. And I said, can you help me out here with this bridge? And it's just like simple little things like, you know, turning a chord into a C chord with a G bass, and it makes it sound majestic, and there we are. And then of course Vince's touch just brought it home to me.
Walk to the sound of my baby sister crying like a day she was born. As an angel of mercy dressed all in white came and said, girls, your mama's passed on. So I gathered my children around me, through our tears found a prayer, talked to God and Jesus and all them guys I knew. Mama, everybody's got a walk that lonesome valley. You got a walk it by yourself, and nobody here can walk it for you. Got a walk. Junie never knew a stranger. She was friendly like that. So we stood with our relations and a bunch of strangers dressed in black. Me and Rosa wore bright colors, 'cause Mama like that. Oh, we laid her near her mama, Saint Circle Bay. Always said she wanted that. Everybody's got a wall. Gotta walk it back. case for your soul. When I lay my head down tonight, and all the right they're smiling down at me, went back home to see my family. Family keeps you strong. Johnny just cried 'cause Junie had died. He didn't care to carry on. So we laid him next to Mama, 'neath the rose-covered ground. Saint anchored in love, peace in the valley.
You did a Grammy Museum performance. Tonight you're at Amoeba.
Tonight I'm at Amoeba in an in-store, which would be great because, you know, it's people come and they can buy the record and see me, and I can sign it and talk to everybody. And I do that. I stay till the last person has talked to me.
And you get to go shopping
yourself.
And I can
yourself. Go shopping and buy some new stuff because I need some tunes, dude.
That is a crazy...
Yeah. You know,
the problem with the in-stores at Amoeba is... Once the label lets the artist start shopping, then we can't get them back for the in-store because they keep shopping and shopping and shopping.
No, my husband says that, you know, he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so anyway, tonight's going to be a lot of fun.
And what time actually are you getting
it's
there?
It's 7 o'clock. Seven o'clock, yeah.
And then tomorrow
night? Tomorrow night we're at Hotel Cafe.
Wonderful experience.
So excited about that. I've heard lots of good things about people that I know that have played there that have just had wonderful shows. And so I'm looking forward to being able to do like a full-on set. Last night at the Grammy Museum was awesome, but on Thursday should be really fun, and tonight at Amoeba.
Yeah, they all bring
it's intimate,
and all three are intimate in a way, but they do bring a different atmosphere to each venue. This time spent with you, I started our conversation out with, you know, how appreciative we were and what we represent as a station, you know, you're so much part of it. And to have you here, been great. It's been great.
Well,
it's one of those things that it should be.
I want to thank you, too, because, you know, this record does mean a lot to me. It means a lot to people that have followed, the fans that have followed the Carter family for so many years. I have 80-year-old people come up to me and say, I've been a fan of yours your whole life, and I think that's so sweet.
And they mean literally,
yeah, and they
your
really,
whole life.
They really mean that. So to know that people, you know, that play the record actually really like it and stuff, that means a lot. And I can't thank everybody enough. I mean, everybody's been so amazing so far, and I've had a great time today. Thank you, Sky.
You know, it's been great having you. And a reminder, tonight in a couple hours, it will be Amoeba, where you can come and join and celebrate the music of Carter Girl. And then tomorrow night, Hotel Cafe. Well, it's been Carlene Carter joining us today at 88.5 KCSN. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again.